This is the Hoboken Grace Podcast. Whether you're in the car or enjoying a walk, we hope you're having a great day. Just like every weekly conversation, we hope today's message deepens your relationship with God and builds into your life in a helpful way. For access to our full podcast library, visit hobokengrace.com or our app.
If you haven't been with us, well, if you haven't been here before, my name is Chris. I'm lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace. And if you haven't been with us for the past couple weeks, we have been moving through this conversation called Starting Fresh and looking at this idea of forgiveness, specifically saying, okay, we're going to make sure as we move into this next year that our past no longer shapes our future. We're not carrying that baggage anymore. And so we've been looking at how God steps into our life and makes possible this thing called forgiveness. Now, a lot of us at the beginning of this series thought, okay, I have an idea of what understanding it or an understanding of what forgiveness is. But as we got to last week, for a lot of us, that was shaken. It was a little, the way that we thought about forgiveness is a little bit different, or maybe a lot different than what God says about forgiveness. And today, I want to build on that. From week one, we've been moving through this process, and we started off with evaluation, and we asked this question, okay, is it actually sin, or is this just a difference of opinion? Is this just a mistake that was made? And then we moved into confrontation, and okay, we're not just moving past this. We're not going to ignore it. We're actually going to address what's happening inside of our relationship or what happened inside of our relationship. Then we looked at confession. So I'm acknowledging my sin and my debt, the reality that sin creates a debt, and I'm being honest about that. Then we looked at repentance, and this idea of repentance is not a feeling word, it's an action word. And so I'm changing direction. And for a lot of us, we got to that point and said, okay, at that point, you just forgive. I mean, there's confession and repentance, then you just forgive. But as we saw last week, that's not what God does. God confronts sin in our life. He calls us to confession and repentance, but that's not the end of the process. And we looked at this idea of restitution, that God doesn't forgive unjustly, but that he actually forgives because the payment was made. And he pays the debt, making forgiveness possible. And last week, we looked at this reality that for a lot of us, we had an unjust idea of forgiveness. And one of the reasons why we struggled with forgiveness for so long is because it felt unjust, because it was. And we thought forgiveness was just overlooking the debt, just moving past the debt. And God says, no, that's not what we do. That's not how this works. My forgiveness is just, and it's based on the payment of Jesus Christ. I want to take you to this passage in 2 Corinthians that lays this out so well and also kind of leads into our conversation for today. It says this, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. He says, we don't think about people the way that we used to think about people. We don't process this the way that we used to process this. He says, though we once regarded Christ in this way, he said, we actually thought about Christ in the same way from a human point of view, from a worldly point of view. He says, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. We haven't even been able to talk about this in this series. We've just been focusing on forgiveness, not the fact that we're made new when we place our faith in Jesus as well. But he says, you are a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. All this is from God who reconciled, in other words, restored our relationship with God, not just made us right with God, but restored our relationship with him who reconciled us to himself through Christ Jesus and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Not only are we reconciled, but he gives us the mission of bringing that to the world around us, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. We're going to come back to this in just a second, this idea of the world. He says, not counting men's sins against them. Now, this should blow you away. Every time I read through this passage, every time you read through this passage, it should blow you away. That he's saying, wait, God doesn't count our sins against us. Again, this idea of forgiveness, not because he's overlooking it. Listen to how he continues. And he says, and he has committed us to this message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Based on what? Based on the fact that God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. The payment was made so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be reconciled to him, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And again, we see this reality that God steps in and says, okay, you can be reconciled. Our relationship can be restored. You can be forgiven based on the fact that the payment has been made. But note that in this passage, it says, not only does this shift the way that we think about Christ, not only does this shift the way that we think about our relationship with God, but it shifts the way that we think about other people. And that was the question I left you with at the end of last week. We see how the restitution impacts our forgiveness as it pertains to God. But what about other people? If forgiveness isn't possible without restitution, and forgiveness without restitution is unjust, how does that impact our forgiveness of other people? And how does the payment of Jesus impact our forgiveness of other people? And we've seen as we've moved through this, I told you from the beginning, I'm only going to teach you forgiveness based on what God has demonstrated and what God has taught us about forgiveness, because I don't think you can have forgiveness without Jesus. I said that again last week. There is no forgiveness without restitution. So I don't know what you call it, but you can't call it forgiveness if you don't have restitution. And I don't know another restitution outside of Jesus. And so I'm only teaching you this based on what God has demonstrated or what God has taught us. And in God's relationship with us, you see confrontation. He calls us to confession, repentance, and then based on restitution of Jesus, there's forgiveness. That's our experience and forgiveness as it pertains to our relationship with God. Now, with one another, it's a little bit different. So we talked about the necessity for evaluation, because sometimes we're wrong about that. We talked about how our confrontation's a little bit different because we have to gain clarity in confrontation. We don't necessarily know if we're right. This is why God calls us to have these conversations with other people involved, the witnesses, as we talked about, and you go back a couple weeks ago. And then we have confession and repentance. But then how does this restitution thing work? And here, again, I think it's a little bit different, the way we engage one another, than our experience with God. And God calls us to do something different here. Because when it comes to restitution, you don't know whether or not someone has accepted Christ as the restitution for their sin. You don't know. So we could come to this point and say, okay, I'm going to trust the restitution of Jesus in order for there to be forgiveness between us. But you don't know that. You don't know if they've accepted that. And I'll say this again. I've said this through this whole series over and over and over again. This is possible for you. Doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, or what you've done. That restitution was paid for you to be forgiven. You can reject it if you want. You can say, Jesus, I don't trust you. You can say, I don't believe you. I'll do it myself. I'll pay it myself. He doesn't force himself on any of us. You can walk away from it if you want. But just know this, the only thing keeping you from it is you. It's already been done. But I don't know that in your life. And so God doesn't call us to say, hey, listen, I want for you to forgive based on the restitution of Jesus as it pertains to one another, not directly anyway. He calls us to do something else. I want to take you to this passage found in Romans chapter 12. It says this, you've been hearing me quote this. We talked about this as it pertains to the promise that God has made in your life, where God says, listen, no one will ever hurt you and get away with it. The debt will be paid. Let me take you to that passage. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 17, it says this, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. He says, listen, I don't want for you to just return evil for evil and go back at the one who's harmed you or sinned against you. He says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. He says, try to live in a peaceful way with all those around you. And then he says this, do not take revenge, my friends. He says, I don't want you to try to collect the debt. When someone sinned against you, I don't want you to try to collect the debt. Why? Because the debt shouldn't be collected? No, the debt actually needs to be collected. He says, but I don't want you to do it. He says, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. In this moment, he's quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32 says this, it is mine to avenge, I will repay. In due time, their foot will slip, their day of disaster is near, and their doom rushes upon them. He says, I don't want for you to collect revenge. I don't want for you to collect the debt. Why? Not because the debt doesn't need to be paid. Here's why God says he doesn't want you to collect it. You're not good at it. You're terrible at it. As a matter of fact, when you try to do it, rather than doing it the right way, you sin again. And you do it for the wrong reasons and the wrong motives and the wrong way. And you don't even have the capacity to collect the debt. So he says, listen, I don't want for you to collect the debt. I want for you to trust me to collect the debt. And this is where we see something that's critical in this process. Because as we get to this conversation about restitution, here's what God does. He steps into our life and says, here's what I want you to do. I want for you to transfer the debt to me. That's what he's saying in this passage. You don't collect it. You give it to me. So what is owed you? I want for you to transfer that to me. I'll collect it. Vengeance is mine. I'll repay. You transfer the debt. So this is no longer between me and you. This is now between you and God. You don't owe me anymore. This is between you and him. And we all understand how this works. Have you ever had a bill that you forgot to pay? And some time has gone by, and finally you decided, all right, fine, I'm going to pay it. Or maybe there was a dispute about it, and finally you say, I'm going to pay it. And you call them up, and you say, hey, listen, I'd like to pay that debt. And they say to you, oh, sorry, you can't pay that here anymore. We sold that debt. You have to call the debt collector. Have you ever had that happen? I've never had that happen to me personally, but I've heard people say that it happens. People have told me stories. I don't know, but it's so frustrating. You're like, oh, no, I just want to pay it here. Can't I just, they're like, no, we can't accept payment for it. Why? We don't own it anymore. And God says, this is what I want you to do. Here's where I want you to trust my justice. And so rather than you trying to collect the debt, I want you to give it to me. And here's what I promise you. I'll collect it. I promise you, it will be paid. And justice will be served. And this is so important. And for some of you, this is going to be the thing that frees you today. Because you have been carrying that debt for decades. And today, you need to come to God and say, listen, it's yours now. I trust you. I'm done carrying it. And here's the interesting thing. If you go back to Deuteronomy, when God says it to the nation of Israel, they have to really trust God on, okay, what does God think sin deserves? Now, they had seen Sodom and Gomorrah and the Red Sea and some of these things, so they saw God's justice in action in a couple of different situations. But they really had to trust God that, okay, are you really going to follow through on what you say you're going to do? Are you really going to follow through on what sin deserves? We don't have to ask that question. We don't have to ask whether or not we can trust what he thinks sin deserves. We know it. We saw it on the cross. We saw what his wrath looks like when it was poured out on his son. When he took my sin on him. We've seen it in action. We don't have to wonder. We know. And God says, I want you to trust me. You can't carry it and you can't collect it. You got to give it to me. You got to give it to me. And some of you, this is the step you need to take today. From the beginning of the series, I've asked you to identify an actual situation, person, circumstance that you've struggled to let go of, that you've struggled to forgive. And some of you today, the step you need to take is that transfer to say that I'm not carrying that debt anymore. That's between them and God. Now let me walk you through this because I want you to see how this works out. Because it's a little bit different depending on where your situation is. Because some of you, we go back to the beginning and we look at confrontation. Some of you can't have that conversation because they're gone. They've passed away. Or maybe they won't talk to you anymore. Or maybe you don't know where they are. If that's the case, this is the step for you. There is no confession, all of that. You just go from, I just need to take this to God and say, okay, God, I can't have the confrontation. And so therefore, I'm just going to give this to you. And I'm not going to carry this anymore. And for a lot of you, you need to do that with a lot of things in your past. I'm going to trust your justice. I know, I saw what you did on that cross. I know I can trust your justice. I'm going to give this to you. For some of you, you'll be able to do that in one conversation. For others of you, you have sticky debt. In other words, it just keeps coming back. Like you're gonna give it to him and then it's just going to come back and you're going to have to do that over and over and over again. But if you will continue to practice this, listen. I've seen it happen in so many people's lives where, man, it feels like I'm just having to have that conversation time after time after time. And then one day they wake up and it's been a year since they had to transfer it again. And they realize, oh my goodness, I'm actually free. But you have to say, no, okay, I'm giving that to you. It's not between me and them anymore. It's between you and them, and I trust you with that. Now, for others of you, you can have the confrontation. And if you can have the confrontation, you need to. I think God calls us into that. Jesus says, listen, if someone has sinned against you, you need to go to them. Why? Because we don't just want to experience the forgiveness that is just the transfer. We want to experience the forgiveness that is reconciliation. In other words, that the relationship is actually restored. In order for that to happen, there has to be, we have to address what happened. Now, some of you have done that and you've had that confrontation, but there is no confession. And so the other person isn't interested and they don't care. If you're in that situation, again, you're moving straight to the transfer. Okay, God, I'm going to trust you with this. There can't be reconciliation in that situation. Or maybe you've stepped into it and the other person's like, listen, it's wrong, but I'm not going to change anything. I'm not changing direction. There's no repentance. Listen to me. In your forgiveness with God, if there's no confession and repentance, there is no forgiveness. Now, God calls us, this is one of the really hard things about Scripture when it comes to forgiveness. God calls us to forgive everyone. And so this is why many of you think forgiveness is that the relationship would be the same again. Because you think when God calls us to forgive everyone, you think God's calling us to be reconciled to everyone. In other words, that the relationship is restored. I don't think that's at all what God's talking about. I think what he's saying, when he talks to us about forgiveness that's available to everyone, he's talking about what he's talking about here in Romans chapter 12. I'm transferring that. This isn't between me and you anymore. Now, reconciliation is different. That experience of forgiveness has to do with confession and repentance. And so I recognize that what I was done is wrong, and I'm trying to change direction, show. It's not that we're perfect. We all know that we're not perfect, but I'm demonstrating and changing character, or at least I'm working towards it. Well, now we can begin to rebuild the relationship. Now there can be forgiveness that leads to reconciliation. And so one of the things that you need to look at is, okay, where am I at in that process? And so maybe I just need to transfer it because there can't be confrontation. Maybe there's a confrontation that needs to be necessary or has happened, and there's no confession, repentance, and so there's a transfer, and I realize the relationship's not going to be the same again. Or maybe there is confession and repentance, and so we can begin to work towards reconciliation. It doesn't mean it's the same tomorrow. Again, I've said this from the beginning. Don't ask people to trust you based on communicated character. It has to be demonstrated character. And so I realize it's not going to be the same right away, but there's nothing there anymore. It's cleared. There's nothing between us anymore. Because I've given that to him. And now it's between you and him. But there is another way that Christ impacts this. It's not just that as I move through that process, I know, like, okay, I can trust his justice because I've seen what happened on the cross. It's not just that. It's a little bit deeper than that. A little bit more significant. And this is another mistake that we make as it pertains to forgiveness. And this has everything to, I think this has everything to do with our culture. So different cultures, as they engage the reality of who God is, their strengths and weaknesses in terms of what they're going to understand and how they're going to be able to experience what God has called them into. Our culture is incredibly individualistic. Incredibly individualistic. And that has actually impacted the way that we think about forgiveness. And I think has kept us from understanding the fullness of what God wants for us to understand with forgiveness. So for example, many of us, and I've even said this, I've taught this for 20 years, I've said this over and over and over again. You need to trust God that God has paid for your sin. You've heard me say it. Some of you actually took that step because I shared with you. Listen, as you look at what Jesus has done for you, you need to understand that Jesus has paid for your sin, and you need to trust him that he's paid for your sin and that you can be forgiven. But here's the thing. When you come to Scripture, I don't know that that's primarily what God's asking us to trust. So let me show you what I mean. Isaiah chapter 53. Almost all these passages we've worked through as we've worked through the series. Isaiah 53 verse 6 says this, "All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We read this just a second ago. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. Colossians chapter 1. "For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven." We read this last week. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, the payment for our sins. And not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. This is why I've said over and over again as we move through this series, it's already been paid for you. It doesn't matter who you are. Now, do you have to, in faith, accept it? Absolutely. But it's already been paid. And as you work through these passages, and as I continue to work through this idea of forgiveness with God, and I began to realize, wait, God doesn't actually step into our life and say, hey, listen, I want for you to trust that I paid for your sin. Not just that. He does ask you to trust that it's your sin, but it's when you look at Scripture, I think it's so much bigger than that. He says, no, I want you to trust not just that I paid for your sin. I want you to trust that I paid for sin. The whole thing. All of it. I want you to trust that I provided the restitution for all of it. Which is interesting how it impacts that moment where God says, okay, I want for you to transfer it, because not only can we trust God's justice because of the fact that, well, we saw the cross, we saw his justice in action, but we can actually trust it because, not that it might be paid for, it was. It was paid for. All of it. It was paid for. Not just what I've done, what's been done to me. It was paid for. And so I transfer it. Okay, God, this is between you and them. And here's what I know. Not just that it might be, I know that it was paid for. I don't know whether they're going to accept that from you or whether they'll choose to pay for it themselves. I don't know. But I know this. It was justly and rightly paid for. This is why I don't think God is actually calling us to accept forgiveness for ourselves. Or the way I might say it is this. I don't think God is asking us to just accept forgiveness for ourselves. I think he's actually asking us to accept the reality of forgiveness. It was all paid for. Now, this is both encouraging and at the same time a problem for me. You may or may not experience this. I experience this because I'm working through this and I'm saying, okay, I'm going to transfer this to you. And I like the transfer idea because there's a chance they might still pay for it. And then even the idea that, well, he did pay for it. And I realize, okay, he paid for it, and that's available to them if they accept it. But I don't know if you've ever done this before, but I remember especially with one situation in particular that was really painful for myself and my family. I said, okay, God, I'm going to transfer this to you. And then I prayed like crazy that they would never accept Jesus. Why? I don't want him to take their place. I want them to pay for it. I don't want them to be forgiven. I want them to pay for it. And if you're here and you've been hurt really deeply, you know what I'm talking about. And you've struggled with that. And if you're honest about forgiveness, and you're honest about what God has made possible in forgiveness, you're going to have to confront this at some point. Okay, God, I can trust you with justice, but man, I really hope. And as I was walking down this road, I think God asked me the ultimate question about forgiveness, and that is this. Is what Jesus did on the cross enough for it all? In other words, Chris, you've been really interested in talking about forgiveness for yourself and accepting forgiveness for yourself, but are you actually willing to accept the reality of forgiveness? That's the ultimate question. Is it enough? It's really easy to accept it as restitution for what we've done. I'm excited about that. I'm not interested in accepting it as restitution for what they've done. And that was hard. And I had to go on a journey. And I remember walking through this with God. And in my mind, just going to the foot of the cross and looking up at him and asking this question. Is it enough? Is it enough? Is it enough for what I've done to the one who created me? Is it enough for what I've done to those around me? Is it enough for what's been done to me? And as I looked up at that cross, I said, yes. And in that moment, I finally accepted forgiveness. Forgiveness isn't just something you accept for yourself, it's a reality that you accept that Jesus made possible. It's paid for. It's done. It's over. It was enough. It was right and just and what was deserving, and it was enough. And for the first time, it made forgiveness possible. Not just in our relationship with God, but in our relationship with each other. Because I know, I don't know if you'll accept it or not, but I do know this, it was enough. And it will be enough. I accept forgiveness. I accept the reality of what Jesus did to make forgiveness possible. We've lived with this tension as you look back over the last couple weeks. Remember all the times we kept looking at these moments where Jesus says, hey, listen, if you don't forgive, you're not going to be forgiven. Let me take you back to one of those moments, Matthew chapter 6. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. This is when he's teaching them how to pray. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Remember that tension we've been living with? Well, that doesn't make any sense. That sounds like you earn your salvation. When I was confronted with the reality of forgiveness, I realized it doesn't work to just accept forgiveness for yourself. And I was confronted with the reality and the question, if I'm not willing to accept forgiveness, if I'm not willing to say it was enough for what they've done, then do I really accept forgiveness at all? Do I really understand forgiveness at all? And I think in these moments, Jesus is calling us to the reality that, wait, forgiveness doesn't work that way. Forgiveness isn't a moment by moment or a situation by situation thing. It's not a circumstance thing. This is why now I've begun the practice of when people ask me, you know, hey, would you forgive me? I don't say, hey, yeah, I forgive you. I just say, yeah, I accept forgiveness. I accept forgiveness. Jesus made this thing called forgiveness possible. I accept it. All of it. It's not a moment-by-moment decision. You either accept it or you don't. It's either a reality that he made possible or it isn't. And you have to ask yourself the question, will you accept forgiveness? Would you bow your head with me? I want to take you on this journey really quickly. Again, I asked you as we move through this, not to just let this be theoretical, but for you to actually identify the circumstance or situation. And I want you to come back to that. And I want to call you to engage God in that conversation, to say to him, listen, I'm not carrying this anymore. For you to come before him and say, God, I'm done carrying this debt. I can't carry it and I can't collect it. It is yours. This is between you and them now. It's not between me and them anymore. This is between you and them now. But then on that journey to not just stop there, but as you're taking that step of trusting God's justice, I want to invite you to the foot of the cross. I want to invite you to the moment at which God laid upon him the iniquity of us all. The sins of the whole world. To look up at him. We're told he's unrecognizable at this point. His face has been shredded, his body has literally been ripped apart. The crown of thorns is shoved into his head. He's mocked and ridiculed by the crowd. He cries out because for the first time, our sin has caused him to be alone for the first time without his Father. And I want to ask you, is it enough? Is it enough? Will you accept the payment for all that you've done to your Creator? Will you accept the payment for all that you've done to those around you? Will you accept the payment for all that's been done to you? Is it enough? Will you accept forgiveness? That the just, right, and good payment was made. Father, I pray that you would open our eyes that you would allow us to experience and know the freedom of what only you have made possible. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. In Jesus' name.